I'd like to turn in the Word of God this evening to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We're going to read the entire chapter tonight. And the text that we're going to consider is verse 28, the well-known Romans 8, verse 28. Let's read this together. This is the holy and the inspired Word of God. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, and the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. For the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? For if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So far we read the Word of God. May he bless the reading of his Word to us tonight. We consider tonight Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we know, the purpose of our old year's service is to look back and to reflect upon the year of our Lord, which was 2021, and to reflect back in light of the truth of God's Word as he has given to us. As we do that tonight, there are so many things that we could look at in the sacred scriptures as we look back at this year, a year that in many respects was a difficult year, a year that in many ways we won't ever forget as individuals and families and as a congregation of believers. In order to look back tonight, we do so by turning to Romans 8:28, a passage that is very well known. We can all say the beginning of the text by heart, for we know that all things work together for good. A passage that it may be safe to say is in the top five of the most well-known passages in the entire Scriptures. We know very well Romans 8:28. And we reflect upon this passage tonight as we look back at this past year. And by reflecting on this passage in particular, what we are led to reflect upon is who our God is. That's the point of Romans 8:28. Yes, Romans 8:28 says something about us. Obviously, it says something about us. What it says about us is that everything that happened in this past year worked together for our good. But understand that when you make that confession tonight, at the end of this year, you are chiefly making a confession about who your God is. And that's what we need to know tonight as we end this year. We need to know who our God is, who our God was in 2021, and what our God was doing in the church, and in your life, and in my life as believers in this past year. And that's what Romans 8:28 leads us to see. When we say with believing hearts and from our lips, we know all things work together for good. What we are saying by that is, I know, to make it personal, I know who God is. And this is who God is, the sovereign God over all, and my God for Jesus' sake. And because He is my God, who elected me in eternity, redeemed me in the blood of Jesus, and now promises to work all things in my life for good. That's the confession that we make tonight, and may God use it to help us end the year in the right way as we look to Him and praise Him and worship Him for the God that He was and continues to be at the end of this year. All things work together for good. That's the main idea of Romans 8:28. The three parts to the sermon is this, in the first place, that it's all things. That's what we're going to look at first. All things. In the second place, we'll consider how they work together for good. And then in the third place, we'll end with the fact that we know this. We know all things work together for good. As we think about Romans 8, verse 28, let's place it a little bit in its context in Romans 8. We're in the book of Romans generally, the book in the New Testament that most explicitly, most technically, we can say, explains the doctrines of grace, the doctrines of God's saving work in Jesus Christ, the doctrines of justification and sanctification, and here in Romans 8 and in Romans 9, how that's grounded in God's eternal decree of election in Jesus Christ. The section that we're in here at the end of Romans 8 is one that reflects upon particularly the fact that we are the adopted sons and daughters of God. Verse 14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And as the sons of God who have the Spirit of adoption, we cry out," as the next verse says, "Abba, Father." As the children of God, adopted into His family because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we are, as the next verse goes on to say, joint heirs with Christ. Joint heirs with Christ of eternal life. And so where Romans 8 is led is to the fact that we are glorified with Christ, which is why nothing compares to that. The sufferings, as this context teaches us, of this present age do not compare to the glory that we will have as those who are delivered from our sins and redeemed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And so that's the general context of Romans 8. We are the adopted children of God. We are the joint heirs with Christ of that eternal life, our glorification, such that the sufferings of this present age do not compare to the glory that shall be revealed in us. And in that context, we come to Romans 8, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good. Beloved, all things, the language of the text is clear. It's not a few things. It's not some things. It's not even most things work together for good. The text means what it says, exactly what it says. All things work together for good. Think about what it would be like for us tonight if it was one of those other three. if at the end of the year the confession of the Word of God was a few things work together for our good, or some things work together for good, or even if we had to say most things work together for our good. If it was any of those, how would we feel tonight? How could we have peace tonight? We couldn't. Because we would look back at 2021 and there would always be that nagging question. Is this part of the few, the sum, or the most? Or did this event fall outside of the scope of God's almighty plan, His perfect providence, and His goodwill to His people in Jesus Christ? Maybe this event that I look back at didn't fall in this category of Romans 8:28. But that's not what we say, because that's not the teaching of the Word of God. The teaching of the Word of God is all things. And so look back at your life in this past year. Look at your life personally and as families. And certainly when you think about 2021, there's going to be some big things that jump out at you that are included in the all things of Romans 8:28. But now pull out your imaginary calendar from the past year. And you flip through that calendar of the past year, and it's got all the individual things that you did, so that it's not just as we end the year thinking about the big things that are included in the all things of Romans 8:28, but all the little things. The little things that you would only come to your mind when you do pull the calendar out and look at the details of your life in this past year. Reflect upon our church life, and certainly the same thing can be said. There's the big things of this past year. There were some seriously big things that happened in our church in this past year and in our denomination in this past year. And they come to mind very quickly looking back. But don't forget about all the little things. The fact that week after week, twice on the Lord's Day, we were here hearing the Word of God, worshiping God, the fact that we had countless conversations and interaction and communion with each other as believers in this past year, the fact that we attended Bible study after Bible study and taught catechism class after catechism class and meeting after meeting. Yes, there's the big things that come out in our mind, but all of the littler things, the day-to-day things, the week-to-week things, are the all things of Romans 8:28. And then you think about the world generally, and we don't need to enumerate what took place. Big picture and little picture. And see that it's the all things of Romans 8, verse 28. But understand that the focus of Romans 8, verse 28 is on the hard things. That's really what the Spirit is speaking about here in the context in Romans 8. I quoted in a part of the sermon earlier the language of verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. That's what this context is talking about. It's the sufferings of this present time. Right before our text, after talking about how the creation groans as it is a fallen creation with the effects of sin, longing for that day of redemption when Jesus comes, so also do we, as we read in verse 23, so also do we groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, that is, the redemption of the body, the resurrection of the body. We experience in this life the reality that it's a fallen world, that our bodies are weak and decaying as they experience the effects of sin, as we go through, as the previous verse says, the sufferings of this present time, that's the focus. As we think about the all things of Romans 8, verse 28. And beloved, that was a reality for us in this past year. We all have this body that longs, as the creation does, for the redemption, the resurrection body in the age to come. We all dealt with the effects of sin, being sinned against, the consequences of that sin, sinning against others, and the hardships that are with that. Lost loved ones that were dear to us. We experience sickness and pain and continue to do so in this weak body. We know the troubles that God's people in our own congregation have been led through in this past year. And looking at all of that in 2021, we say with Romans 8, 28, all things work together for good. And we can say that because of who our God is. The reason we can say this is because we make a confession about who God is. His absolute sovereignty. That God is absolutely sovereign means He's over it all. He's over it all because it's all according to His eternal decree and plan. He's over it all because His providence, which so leads and guides all things, is all-encompassing. If His providence was not all-encompassing, you couldn't say all things of Romans 8, 28. But because there's nothing, including the hairs that fall from our heads, nothing that's outside of His providence as the sovereign God, therefore, we say with Romans 8, 28, all things. The confession of all things is a confession of the absolute sovereignty of God. This is God's promise. This is God's word. All things work together for good. Now let's be very clear at what the text says and what it does not say. It does not say that all things of themselves are good. That's not what the text says. The text says that all things work together for good. Now, beloved, those are two very, very different things. The Bible acknowledges evil. The Bible acknowledges suffering. The Bible acknowledges the tremendous burdens that weigh us down on this earthly pilgrimage. The Bible says that the life that we live is in a valley of tears. Our comfort in the truth of Romans 28 is not that in some twisted way we play mind games so that we look at what is objectively evil, bad, and a cause for suffering, and in a twisted way play a mind game that says, no, that's actually of itself good. That's not what we do. Because that's not what the Bible does. That's not what God does. As Christians, we understand evil in this world. We understand suffering in this world. We understand burdens that we must bear. We understand it because we understand what happened in the Garden of Eden with Adam. He sinned. And we understand who God is, who is a just God who punishes sin. And we understand this world that is under the curse because of sin. We acknowledge evil. We acknowledge burdens. We acknowledge difficulty. The Bible does. The sufferings of this present age. The text is not saying to us that we look at what is evil and sin and say, no, call it good. No, it's evil. It's sinful. But here's the beauty and the amazing thing about the passage. Because of how great God is, that we believe by faith as the all-wise God of heaven and earth. The point of the passage is that it works for good. That's the idea. And the idea, very simply, is God is so at work in the world and in the church and in your life personally that it all works and fits together unto an end, a purpose, a goal that is good. Of itself, it's evil, it may be. There are the good things. Of course there are. Here's one of them. We're worshiping God, and He's using this part of the working for good. But many of it is the sufferings of this present age. And God is saying that I am so sovereign, so good of myself, and so wise that I so fit it all together to an end, a purpose, a goal that's good. And so it's so important when we think about Romans 8 verse 28 to say, what is the good of which the text is speaking? And here's where the passage can be abused, even sometimes when we're well-intentioned, to say that the good is really not the thing that God has in mind when He says that it's good. And usually it has something to do with an earthly good, or to use one very important example, the good that the burden or suffering will be removed. That's not necessarily the good. God doesn't promise that. He doesn't say, okay, we're at December 31, 2021. We went through all the sufferings in this past year. They're all going to go away in the year to come. No, they're not going to, because of the nature of the world in which we live. So that's not the good that God is saying He works everything toward, according to this text. Well, what is it? Well, what it is, as we think about Romans 8:28 in its immediate context, is that God works it all to lead us to that end, which is our glorification. That's why it works together for our good. Because God is at work in our life, directing all things to this greatest end, this greatest good for you and me in our lives, and that is the eternal life of glorification when we are with our Savior forever in heaven. Romans 8:28 is followed by 29 and 30. 29, for whom He did foreknow, He predestinated. 30, whom He predestinated, He called. Whom He called, He justified. Whom He justified, them He also glorified. The previous text. The sufferings of this present age cannot be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. Right before our text, we wait for the redemption of the body. Beloved, the good is that God used 2021 to bring you that much closer to glory. And here's the thing. None of it, therefore, was random. None of it was haphazard. None of it was arbitrary. But God has a perfect plan according to His counsel for you. It's a plan from birth to glorification. And you have to walk through that path ordained by God, and God determined this was the path that you were going to walk on in 2021, and that we were going to walk on together as a congregation. And God said, this is what you have to go through You may not understand why this is the path. With all that we went through in this past year, but God said, this is the one. It's the only way for you to get to glory. It's the only way according to my eternal counsel. And that's why as you go through it, I am so working that it's bringing you that much closer to the day when I will glorify you. As you look back at the year and ask the question, how did God work it all for good? The answer in part is this. He brought us that much closer to the day, as we read in Romans 8:30, when we will be glorified. And that's amazing, because all we long for is God to glorify us as we will live with Jesus Christ forever. But now we add something to that to further explain the good. And the addition is this, that God works through it all in order to shape us and to form us in the image of Jesus Christ. And that's part of the good as well. That's immediately after our text in verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. God so works in the life of the Christian, to use different language that expresses the idea of the text, to make you more Christ-like. To make you look like Jesus more. That's the point of it all. God elected us, God redeemed us, God justifies us so that He sanctifies us. And our sanctification is that we are made to look like Jesus. Until that day when it is perfect and we are with Him and the old man is stripped away. The broader context of Romans 8 is sanctification. God's amazing work to sanctify. And therefore, that's why it's good. It's good not only because God is saying this is one step closer to the goal when you're glorified, but as you take those steps, I am conforming you. I am making you more like my Son, Jesus Christ, until that final day when the old man is stripped away and we are with Him forever in glory. And so, beloved, that's the question. Not just the question, this brought me closer, but the question to identify the good is this. As you look back at the year, how did God make me more like Christ? And I trust that we can answer that question. Make a beginning in answering that question. How did what we go through make us more like Christ? Certainly, as we go through life, we know our sin more and more, and that's what happened in this past year. That makes me more like Christ. As we experience the troubles in relationships, we are led to know what matters most in my relationship is my relationship to Christ. That makes me more like Christ. As we live in a world with events that are so troubling, it makes me look up more and say, when is He coming again? That makes me more like Christ. When you put it all together and look at 2020, I pray that we can see how God was at work chiseling us and forming us to be more like His Son, Jesus Christ. As we were led one step closer to the day when we will be glorified. This is God's amazing work of sanctification, that He in the trajectory of a Christian's life is so at work, conforming them to the image of Jesus Christ as he brings us one day home to glory. And so as we reflect upon the year and we ask, how did God so work so that we see all things working together for good, we can put some substance to it. We can say, this is the good that God has worked in all things for us as his people. And here's the thing, we know it. We know it. And we know, the text says. Beloved, we know that by faith. That's how we know this. It's because of a God-given faith. A faith which is the knowledge and assurance of who God is. A faith that knows and believes the Word of God and the promises of God. So that as we go through this present life and everything we've gone through as we end this year, by faith I believe and you believe that this was the path I had to take. I had to take this path to get to the end, which is the ultimate good of glorification. And that's by faith that I confess that. That it wasn't another path, but it was this path. And that God is going to use this to shape me and to form me into his image of his Son, Jesus Christ. And so we know it. We know it by faith. We know it because we know who God is. And ultimately, beloved, that's our peace. You see, the peace that we have at the end of the year is not that God says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take all of the puzzles of the jigsaw puzzle and I'm going to show you how they all fit together so you see it perfectly and understand it perfectly. That's not where the peace comes from. You can compare it to a father and a mother with a little child. Sometimes the little child goes through something and he asks mom and dad, and mom and dad know that the little child doesn't need to know all of the things about the situation, doesn't maybe even have the capacity to fully understand it, but therefore only has to say to the little child, trust me, trust me. It's going to be okay. And the child walks away and says, okay, I'm at peace now. Maybe doesn't say it, but acts it. That's the point. Where does the peace come from for the little child? It comes from the fact that he or she knows who mom and dad are. They said it. That's why the little child is okay. And beloved, the same thing is true for us. Why are we okay at the end of another year? Why can we say the truth of this text? It's not because we can necessarily put the jigsaw piece together, puzzle together. But it's because we know who says this. We know who he is. We believe him as our God. And therefore, we say, we know this. We're sure of it because we believe it by faith. And we know the Lord Jesus Christ. We trust in him by faith because in the end, the certainty of this is that God is God, the sovereign God, but he's also the God who has saved us in Christ. He's the God who elected us in Jesus Christ. He's the God who redeemed us by his blood. He justifies us. He called us. He's sanctifying us. God loves us in Jesus Christ and therefore promises us, I will use all things to work for your good. We know, we know, we know, because we know who God is by faith. And we know who God is to us in Jesus Christ. and therefore are confident. God does not work things for our evil in His hatred and in His curse. But looking back, we are confident that God worked all things for our good as He loves us in Christ and promises us the final end of glorification to come. And so, beloved, as we end the year together, let's do so knowing who our God is, confessing this truth, confessing who He is to us in Jesus. And therefore, may we end the year in peace, and not just in peace, but in worship. And not just with this confession, but also with the confession as we go forward at the end of Romans 8. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Father in heaven, we're thankful that we can end the year in thy house. We're thankful that thou art the amazing God thou art to us in Jesus Christ with these promises, which are yea and amen in him. Bless thy word as it was brought tonight. Encourage us by it as well. We pray this for Jesus' sake. Amen.